You're about to lose everything, your office, your ministry, all that I've given you as a blessing to serve me on behalf of the people. It's all about to go away, and I don't want you to go through that. Please turn, turn while you still can.
Welcome to Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Pastor Larry McCarthy. We are so glad you're joining us today for this series in Malachi. Now, Pastor Philip, you know, when we talk about people in the spiritual slide, oftentimes it's a little degree, but it goes over for such a long period of time, and then you look up and you're in the weeds.
Yeah.
How do they get there?
Yeah. So in the book of Malachi, God's addressing the priesthood here, and they're in grave danger because they've allowed certain things in their life spiritually that have the danger to totally derail them. And we know this, Pastor Larry. If we've seen people whose marriages have blown up or ministries have blown up, and it doesn't happen in a moment. It happens slowly over time through compromise and small decisions. And so the priesthood is about to go off the rails, and God loves them enough to lean in and to warn them. And this is practical for every single one of us, because we all know the potential to fall spiritually is in all of our lives. We all have sin. We all have things we're babysitting, things that we need to address in our souls. And if we don't address them, they really will undo us if we're not careful. So this is a good warning for each one of us as well.
Mm. Let's go now to the pulpit of the Moody Church as we explore God's warning to those who do not steward well what God has given them. This is part one of the sermon, Misleading Ministers.
Have you ever wondered how the priests and teachers of the law in Jesus' day got so far off spiritually that when the Messiah, the Son of God, stood right in front of them, they missed him entirely? Not only did they miss him, they crucified him. The very religious leaders who were supposed to point people to God killed him. How on earth did that happen? How did they go so far wrong? How did they get so far off? Well, it didn't happen overnight. The slide into spiritual disintegration never does. It's a long slide. It's a slow fade. It's a steady decay. Ask anyone who's ever blown up their marriage. Ask anyone whose ministry has ever been rocked by scandal. Ask anyone who ever throws in the towel on their faith. It doesn't happen in an instant. It happens over years, months and years. The decay goes back deep. And the spiritual decay of the priesthood goes back a long way, at least centuries, as far back as the book of Malachi, which was written 450 years before Jesus. The spiritual rot was already deep in the bones. The decay was already widespread. God had sent prophet after prophet to try to get his people to come back to repentance, to get his priests to shape up and get their act together and come back and worship him in holiness. And time again, they had ignored the word of the Lord. And so now, in a final warning, God sends Malachi with language that is designed to shock and startle and wake them up and call them back from the edge of spiritual decay and disaster. It's a call to repent and to return to the Lord. And with this tough love, the Lord is going to call them back to his tender mercies. So grab your Bibles. Let's open up to Malachi chapter 2. We're going to look at the first 9 verses today. Again, Malachi chapter 2. If you'll listen as I read verses 1 down to 9. This is the word of the Lord. And now, O priests, this command is for you. If you will not listen, If you will not take it to heart to give honor to my name, says the Lord of hosts, then I will send the curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Indeed, I've already cursed them because you do not lay it to heart. Behold, I will rebuke your offspring and spread dung on your faces, the dung of your offerings, and you shall be taken away with it. So shall you know that I have sent this command to you, that my covenant with Levi may stand, says the Lord of hosts. My covenant with him was one of life and peace, and I gave them to him. It was a covenant of fear, and he feared me. He stood in awe of my name. True instruction was in his mouth, and no wrong was found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and uprightness, and he turned many from iniquity. For the lips of a priest should guard knowledge, and the people should seek instruction from his mouth, for he is a messenger of the Lord of hosts. But you have turned aside from the way. You have caused many to stumble by your instruction. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of hosts. And so I make you despised and abased before all the people, inasmuch as you do not keep my ways, but show partiality in your instruction. Thanks be to the Lord for the reading of his word. You'll recall that Malachi is roughly divided into six disputes, six arguments between the people and God as they go back and forth. And we are in the second half of the second dispute. We looked at the first half last time. It began back in chapter 1, verse 6, and it runs all the way through our text today to the end of chapter 2, verse 9. And in the first half that we looked at last time, God called out the people for sacrificing their lame and sick and maimed and deformed animals as sacrifices in the temple, instead of giving God their first and best, which was what was required. He says, you've dishonored my name with your corrupt offerings. But not only did he call out the people for their offerings, he called out the priests, because the priests were the ones who were saying, yeah, that animal's okay. It's good enough for God. And they were the ones allowing these sacrifices that were clearly, obviously deficient, falling short of the standards of the first and best that was required of God's people. They were skimping on their offerings, and the priests were saying, oh, it's fine, let it slide. And so God called out the priests and said, you are dishonoring my name. You are the ones who find your temple service so tediously burdensome, and so I'm going to call you out as well. And now in the second half of this second dispute, God is going to press in to the priests. He's going to focus on them and their failure in the priesthood. And so the passage divides rather neatly into three buckets here. We've got the curse, the covenant, and the charge. Okay, the curse, the covenant, and the charge. There's your outline for this morning. Would you bow your heads? Let's pray, and then we'll dive in. Father, everything rises and falls on leadership. And we know that's true in the spiritual dimension as well. Godly leaders lead people to you, and ungodly leaders can ruin the faith of many. And so, Father, would you help me to be faithful? Help us to keep our eyes on you. Help us to speak the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth as we turn to your word. We give you ourselves. We hold nothing back. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. So first of all, the curse. Verse 1, and now, O priest, this command is for you. If you will not take it to heart to give me honor to my name, says the Lord of hosts, then I will send the curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Indeed, I've already cursed them because you do not lay it to heart. This is about as direct as it gets, right? Priests, I'm talking to you. This command is for you. And if you won't listen, if you will not take it to heart to give honor to my name, which is my rightful due and your rightful duty, then I will send a curse upon you and your blessings. Now, the idea that they would be under a curse, that's pretty clear what that means. Instead of living under the good and gracious blessings of God, they will find themselves instead under his righteous judgment and his holy wrath. But what is this about cursing their blessings? What on earth does that mean? Well, as best as I can tell from the scholars that I trust, this seems to be a reference to the blessing of their priestly office. It's a blessing of their priestly office. You'll recall that God chose the tribe of Levi, one of the 12 sons of Jacob, the tribe of Levi that came from Levi himself. He chose them in particular to serve as priests in the temple for the worship of God. They were set aside from all the other tribes of Israel for a blessed assignment. They were to be priests. And as priests, they were in charge of bringing blessings to the Lord on behalf of the people, and they were in charge of mediating the blessings from the Lord to the people. And so the priestly role was a role of blessing. It was to minister at the very heart of the blessings that flowed from the people to God and from God back to the people. And God is saying, look, if you won't listen to me, priests, if you won't take it to heart to honor my name, then a curse is coming upon you, and it's coming upon the blessing you have of serving as my priests. In fact, the curse is even already upon you, because even now, as I speak, you are not heeding my commands. You are not taking them to heart. In other words, he's saying, you're in danger of losing your ministry. You're in danger of losing your ministry. And it's not just you, but your children as well. Verse 3, but behold, I will rebuke your offspring and spread dung on your faces, the dung of your offerings, and you shall be taken away with it. So shall you know that I have sent this command to you. The priesthood, of course, ran in the families of the people of the Levites within the tribe of Levi. And so in this case, the sins of the father will have consequences upon their children. Your curse will be your children's rebuke. Can't you sense God's earnest plea here? He's saying, look, if you won't heed my word for your own sake, heed it for the sake of your children. Because if I take the priesthood from you, it means your children won't get it either, and your children will lose out. Think of them. Think of the consequences of your failure to honor me as I deserve to be honored. And then we come to the most graphic and repulsive part of this text. It's crazy, isn't it? This is the word of the Lord. The Lord. I will spread dung on your faces, the dung of your offerings, and you shall be taken away with it. Now, the word dung here is a technical term. It is one that the priests would have been all too familiar with. It is the word for the unclean entrails and bowels of the sacrificial animals that they offered in the temple. So before the offering took place, they gutted the animals. They took, kind of field dressed it, if you will, and took everything out, the entire GI tract from start to finish. And they removed all of that. It was called the offal. And they removed it, and they took it outside the city. It was unclean, and they burned it, destroyed it. And the priests were super careful in handling all of this. They wrapped it and they did all kinds of things to avoid touching it because they couldn't become unclean. They didn't want to get gross and dirty and unclean, so they couldn't serve in the temple. And so they were really careful as they took it and removed it and burned it outside the city. They did all of that. They didn't want to touch it. And God says, all that stuff that's so dirty and unclean, it's going to be all over your faces. I'm going to wipe it on your face. Because that's what you're doing to me. With all your corrupt, spoiled, and putrid offerings, it's coming up before my face. And so let's see what you think. Turnaround's fair play. How do you like it? It's graphic, isn't it? Now, of course, God isn't literally going to wipe the stuff on their face. But you see what he's doing here with his language. He's using imagery they'll be sure to understand. Writing categories they deal with on a daily basis, and it's so graphic they can't ignore it. It's meant to shock them. It's meant to grab their attention. It's meant to be unforgettably penetrating. He's saying, listen to me. You're about to lose everything. Your office, your ministry, all that I've given you as a blessing to serve me on behalf of the people. It's all about to go away, and I don't want you to go through that. Please turn. Turn while you still can. You see, the priests were in danger of losing their ministry. The priests are in danger of losing their ministry. If they don't course correct, all the blessings they enjoy in this ministry they have will be taken away. Just like the offal was taken away outside the city and burned because there was in the curse of a fire, because there was nothing in it that was pleasing to the Lord, so their office is about to be taken away and destroyed. There's nothing in it that gives me pleasure, the Father says. It's a curse. Sobering, isn't it? Sobering.
This is Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Pastor Larry McCarthy. We're so glad you're with us today as we dig deeper into what is really a very sober warning. But Pastor Philip, help me and with our listeners bridge this gap. We're talking about priests in Malachi. What does that their spiritual leaders have to do with us today?
Yeah, good question. So obviously, it's not hard to connect the dots between the spiritual priesthood in the Old Testament and ministers of the Gospels, pastors, missionaries, people that serve the Lord and speak the Word of God, teach the Word of God today. That's a really easy connection for us to make. And obviously, that's probably the first and primary application for us. But I think this also connects for each one of us because we've all been entrusted with some ministry at some level. We've been entrusted with the ministry of the gospel. There are people in our lives, family, friends, neighbors, church people that are in our sphere of influence. And we have some measure of spiritual input into their lives. We have influence. We shepherd. We care for others. So we're all ministers of the gospel at some level.
Yes.
And so the reality is, this is a warning for every single one of us that have been entrusted with ministry, that's not something we should take for granted. It's a huge privilege to be given spiritual responsibility, shepherding, ministry resources to pour our lives out for the sake of others. We're impacting people all around us every day, and our lives have spiritual consequences. So if we don't take seriously what it means to live in integrity before the Lord, to actually attend to the condition of our souls, to pay attention to how those spiritual gifts are being stewarded, as if we lose track of that, if it rots out from the core, the cascade of dominoes into the lives of other people, those ripple effects are going to be huge. And we all know people like that, right? Who maybe they weren't a pastor or a minister of the gospel, but you know, they blew up their marriage, or they mistreated their kids in such a way that they just never talked to them again. And there's a whole cascade of spiritual consequences when we don't attend to our souls. And so I think every single one of us can at some level sit back and say, okay, where am I spiritually? How much of this warning is intended for me? What sin is in my life that I think is just no big deal and I keep excusing and I'm just sort of, you know, just managing it and not dealing with it with the kind of sobriety and seriousness that the Lord would require. Like, that's, I think, the right way to internalize a text like this.
Amen. We can't have this conversation about stewardship without dipping our toes into the eschatology, if you please, of where we end up, the Bema seat versus the great white throne judgment. For believers, it's the Bema seat. Now, we can't get cut off, but right, certainly motives will be judged.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that's an important distinction, right? When God says, you know, I'm about to take it all away, I'm going to cut off these blessings, he's not talking about their salvation.
Amen.
As people who have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, right, we are permanently tethered to the Lord. And so that can never be, Jesus says, no one will be able to snatch them out of my hand. We are eternally secure in him. And yet, the ministry we've been given can be compromised. That's a privilege. That's a blessing that God gives people. Here's a ministry. Not only did I save you, but I'm going to give you a ministry. Well, that's not something you can take for granted. Like, he can take away the ministry. He'll never take away your salvation, but he can take away your influence. Right?
Yes.
And the reality is, you reference it, the great white throne is the final judgment where your spiritual, you know, destiny is determined, whether you are forever with the Lord or away from his presence. And so that's something all of humanity ultimately faces. We've already had that judgment rendered because Jesus died in our place and for our sake on the cross.
Amen.
But we will stand before the Lord and give account for everything we've been given, all the resources that have been entrusted to us. And so our stewardship will be evaluated.
Yes.
And there are rewards for faithfulness, and there's losses, right, for what's burned up because it was not worthy, it was not genuine for the Lord. And so that's what we're talking about. We're saying, okay, as believers who are eternally secure in the Lord, now the stewardship of my life, will I be faithful? Will my life represent Christ? Will the ministry he's given me flourish and be fruitful as I'm faithful to him as best I can? No one's perfect, right?
Yes.
But keeping short accounts, confessing our sin, clinging to holiness, this is the path. Regular repentance, all of that. And will the consequences of my faithfulness be the kind of thing that the Lord Jesus Christ will look at and say, well done, my good and faithful servant? I want to hear that. And so this is a sobering warning for me. I, you know, even preaching this message to myself is a reminder. There are so many pastors and ministers that go off the rails, and we don't want that for our life. The consequences are huge, and a life well lived is worth, that's a legacy worth living. I love that song, you know, oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. What a good prayer over our lives. May we be faithful in every way.
That's the question of the hour that we all need to ask ourselves. Am I being faithful with everything that God has entrusted to me? My children, my marriage, my wife, my job, my possessions. Are we being faithful? That really is the heart of stewardship, isn't it? Being faithful with the one precious life God gave us. Now, we want to encourage the women in our listening family to build that kind of spiritual legacy, and that's why we're pleased to offer this wonderful resource by Rebecca Lutzer. She's the wife of our pastor emeritus, Erwin Lutzer. In her book, Life-Changing Bible Verses Every Woman Should Know, Rebecca has carefully selected 30 key topics, including integrity, stewarding time. Now, these are all designed to help you align your daily walk with God's Word. It's a perfect way to ensure we're being faithful with the treasures he's entrusted to us. Now, this is the last week we're offering Life-Changing Bible Verses Every Woman Should Know for a donation of any amount. To request your copy, simply go to livinghopeoffer.com or call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's livinghopeoffer.com, 1-800-215-5001. Next time, we'll look at the further corruption of the priesthood and what priesthood looks like today. Thanks for joining us for Living Hope, where you'll always find gospel truth for the journey of a lifetime. Living Hope is a production of Moody Church Media and is sponsored by The Moody Church.